And the next voice you hear after this will be of our dear Elder Dennis Greer. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you, sir. Happy Sabbath, church family. Happy Sabbath, church family. On behalf of Pastor Stanley Dixon, I want to welcome each and one of you here today on this precious Sabbath day. What a pleasure it is to stand before you again in God's house. We feel that YEY is a special place to worship. Why? Because both God and family is here week after week. Are you glad to be here today? Yes. We're glad to see Auntie Phoebe back with us after traveling abroad. We're glad to have her back in the house of worship with us today. We're especially glad to have the service members that's here visiting us today. You're a special guest with us today. And I want to thank you for your support and prayers. And I ask you to continue to pray for our pastor and his family as they go through this transition period. And as always, I ask for you to pray for me this morning, because the elders are just like you. We're struggling, and we're leaning on the everlasting word. The year 2007 is moving right along, isn't it? Seemed like yesterday we were celebrating the New Year's. I'm reminded that February is Black History Month. And normally we don't celebrate any one ethnicity, because we should be celebrating all mankind each and every day. Is that right? But I'm reminded as a little boy, the riots and the fires that broke out in the city after the death of Martin Luther King Jr. I can recall vividly on my streets the fires, the riots, the violence. And I recall one young man running down the street asking, "Where do we go from here?" As a church, at the crossroads of disappointment, the question may be on your mind, where do we go from here? Last week, we saw five people baptized, which was very special to each and every one of us. The event meant many different things to each and every family because they're family members. And as new Christians, after the baptism, after going down in the water, the question is asked, where do we go from here? Today, I will reflect on that question in relationship to the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open the doors to our heart so that we will let your Spirit fill it with the love of your message today, that it point us in the right direction, closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's an old saying that says, Those who don't know where they're going are sure to get there. There's a great amount of truth in that saying, in that statement. And as believers, especially, there must be a goal and plan for each of our lives. That's why we had the Bible. It gives us the guidelines which we are to live our lives. There are certain areas of the Christian walk that are totally directed by the commands in the Bible. The Great Commission is one of them. We are told to go out and preach the gospel unto the world. The Bible also tells us to show love to one another. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. So there are some things we do because that's the plan that God has for all people that's identified as Christians. As Christians, in light of these two commands of love one another and the Great Commission, this must be the path that each and every one of us today have to take. We can't deviate from that path. That's the path that is outlined in the Holy Scriptures for each and every one identified as Christians today. My church family, our church 2007 issue today is the perception of unjust process which resulted in resentment from one degree to another. My friends, this 2007 issue took me back to 1968 and remind me the harshness of segregation during the civil rights movement was not just what it done in foreclosing opportunities, but the most tragic outcome of this awful scene was in the eyes of others that you just don't matter. At this crossroads in 1968 and now in 2007, the question has been asked by many, where do we go from here? Are we going to be contented with the status quo? Or are we going to be comfortable with how things are said and stand in our present situation? Are we ready to give up, looking for greener pastures? My friends and family, we must respect and reflect on the spiritual direction that God is leading us today. God had a plan in 1968, and God has a plan in 2007. We first have to know where we are to know where we're going. Where we are a hurt church. We are presently hurting and in need of healing. And there's one thing that we need to know in order to begin this healing process. Momentary hurt has a spiritual purpose, because we look not what at we can see right now, but what not can be seen. We had to look at Christ. Christ is leading us. We can't look at the present situation as such. We had to look at what Christ is going to do. Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Healer, Christ our Savior. And when we pray to God for direction in our lives, sometimes we have to trust in God's plan. Sometimes we ask for directions that we don't want to go there, when God had the answer in front of us all along. As Christians, we're all concerned. I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about the truth. And when one is concerned about all these things, they can only advocate Jesus' love. Through hate, you may murder a liar, but you can't establish the truth. Through hate, you can never stamp out injustice. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that. Over 23 years ago, I was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia, deep in the South. Being new members in that area, me and my wife looked up the two Adventist churches in that area. We went down to what they call the first Seventh-day Adventist church on Macon Road. I don't know if you know about that or not. Went down there, and unlike the YY church, where a rainbow of different people, We went in there, and they considered themselves the white Seventh-day Adventist church. We met a lady at the door, and she stopped me to say, she said, "You know, young man, you would probably feel a little bit more comfortable going to that other church down the road. You know, we decided to stay in that church. And we decided to stay in that church Sabbath after Sabbath. We would leave a little early sometime because they didn't have a mother's room like the one we have in the back. And Kenny would get a little cranky sometimes, so we would have to leave if he started making some disturbance in the church. And so we would leave whenever he started to get a little cranky. That year, we helped with the Apple Drive fundraiser. We helped with the potlucks. We helped with the work bee. And soon, the pastor's wife wanted us to stay in the service and wanted us to stay in worship. And they asked to build a mother's room with a PA system in it so we could stay at church longer. Today, we have fond memories of that church. And we had to look past that initial situation to move up and move on. I've seen too much hate in the world during my short lifetime. I've seen hate on too many faces of whites in southern cities. I've seen hate on too many blacks in the ghettos in the northern cities. I've seen too much hate in the rich eyes in Honolulu. I've seen too much hate in the homeless in Waianae. And every time I see it, I know it does something to us that separates us from the love of God. Because God is love. I know it isn't popular to talk about that in some circles today. But as Christians, you know, God, Jesus' love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems. We can't turn back. We must not turn back. Hate can make men do terrible things. Hate can make Christians do terrible things. You see the wars. Hate can make each and every one of us do terrible things if we don't keep it in check. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "It may be true that a law cannot make a man love me, but it can certainly keep him from lynching me," and I think that's pretty important. Amen. Think about it, my friends. The crowd at Jesus' crucifixion conducted itself somewhat like a lynching. Hate is like a cancer that spreads rapidly. They taunted him. They attacked him. They said, "You can't do anything, not you." They nailed him to the cross. They sealed him in the tomb. They wrote the ultimate Jim Crow statue. They called him the King of the Jews. They put him over there with his own kind. "Keep him out of here. Keep him away from him, us," they said. But one thing they couldn't keep out the power of God's love in our lives today. Amen. And that's what we should be all about. What does God want me to do? I ask myself this question over and over and over again. And I realized for myself, the beast of hatred is not dead. It just morphed into something more subtle. Where do we go from here? Someone has said, "Adversity is the prosperity of the great." Most certainly, adversity has its advantages. Had the Israelites been well treated, they might have been contented to remain in Egypt and never would have established themselves in Palestine to work out the plans that Jesus had for each of their lives. It united them into one nation, bringing them together for one common cause: sorrow, dangers, hopes, aspirations. Adversity wielded the Jewish nation and people together to be one great and powerful nation. But guess what? Even with this, the people of Israel had to make a decision. They had to decide what direction they was going in after the death of Moses. The simple decision was to sit there and mourn the loss of Moses or rise and go forward That was their decision. To sit there and just mourn about what the past, about their leader, or to rise and go forward. Let's read Joshua, the first chapter, the first verse through five. And I will be reading from the New International Version. And it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you. Let's go down to verse 5. And it says, no one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. The death of Moses was a big loss for the people of Israel. They had depended on Moses for everything in their lives. And now they appeared to be stranded in the wilderness with no hope for the future. Even in our lives today, we may face a similar situation. People on whom we depend may be taken away from us. A devastating loss can happen to any of us, anytime. In this situation of loss, confusion, hopelessness, the voice of the Lord comes to Joshua. The Lord was in control. Moses was gone, but the Lord was still there. Moses was gone, but the Lord was still there. What about us today? What about us today? As he intervened in the lives of the Israelites in the wilderness, he will intervene even in your life today. He'll take charge of the situation. Even in our lives today, when everything seems to be lost, when your friends talk about you, when you lose your job, when the food in the cabin is getting short, when you don't have the money to buy food, when your husband starts acting crazy and your kids are out of control, we must realize the Lord is still in charge. Can happen to any of us. Joshua came a long way from slavery to crossing over into the promised land. Brothers and sisters, we have come a long way in this church, in our country. No doubt about it. Come a long way. We come a long way from the old days of slavery and segregation, from the lynchings and massive resistance. We come a long way from that southern church at Columbus, Georgia, implying that we will be better in the black church. We come a long way from Sabbath mornings being the most segregated hour of the American week. Church family, it's okay. It's okay because of language difficulties and communication to have a Korean church, a Japanese church, a Samoan church, because that's part of our great commission to spread the world throughout the world. But we as a church have to be an example to the world, and the only way to do that is that other thing, to love one another as I have loved you. We come a long way, and we can't look back now. We come a long way, and we may ask where we're going. I say we must arise and move forward. I say that again. Where we're at now, we should arise and move forward. Did I hear anybody say amen? Or keep it under your breath, we need to move forward. My friends, there's new areas of ministry that God wants us to explore. He wants this gospel, this spiritual, this church to prosper. God wants to make this church a blessing to this community. But listen to this. We cannot be a blessing to this community if we stop supporting this church financially and support ministries elsewhere. We cannot be a blessing to this community as long as we do nothing about the homelessness that's under that bridge coming into this community. and whose basic mobility is from a smaller tent to a larger tent. We cannot be a blessing to this community as long as we do nothing about the hurting people that's sitting right here in this church. That's what it's all about. God wants us to be a blessing. And in order for us to grow and why today to for tomorrow, we got to be relevant today. We got to be relevant today. We just can't come here, happy Sabbath, see you next Sabbath. We got to be relevant to each other. Dr. Martin Luther King once said, it's all right to talk about the white robes over yonder and all its symbolism, but ultimately people want suits and dresses and shoes to wear right down here. It's all right to talk about streets flowing with milk and honey, but God has commanded us to be concerned about the slums right here on California Avenue, where children can't eat three square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day preachers must talk about the New York, the New Atlanta, the New Kapolei, the New Mililani, the New Waiwai. That's what he wants us to talk about. Amen. My family, I got to say what the Lord has put on my mind this morning. Is that okay? God has been good to the YY Church family in spite of all of our failures and shortcomings. As we look over the past, it's easy to reminisce about all those years gone by. We had some great times here. Amen. I remember occasion with each and every family in this church. We had some great and wonderful times here. We had times of growth, times of victory, times of prosperity, times of success. But we also had times of difficulty, complexities. We have been disappointed in people, discouraged with circumstances, and at times given the option, sometimes we just wanted to give up. You've been there and I've been there. Sometimes we just wanted to give up. But it's your decision where you're going in your spiritual life. It's our decision as a congregation of where we're going concerning the spirituality of this church. That's our responsibility. Not somebody downtown or somebody in the mainland. That's our responsibility, the spirituality of this church. Amen. To the baptized members, to our five baptized members, where are you going from here? This is a new beginning. I say let's rise up and move forward. This is a new day. Be relevant today. God wants to use this church to reach the lost. Let's begin by working together as a congregation for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. We all need words of encouragement. We all need the words like, we are more than conquerors. When you see Brother Harvey down on his luck, he needs words of encouragement. Sometimes you see Elder Freitas sometimes need words of encouragement. Sometimes you may see Elder Greer come down here with his head down low. Don't kick him down. Don't kick him more in the dirt. Give him some words of encouragement. Don't call up your neighbors and start talking about him. God wants you to use you down here. How about words of hope? The young people need hope for the future. We got to think about the young ones. They need hope. That's how we get to that future. And all of us need words of encouragement. Sometimes the words that we may say, sometimes it'll take you three steps back when we all should be arising and moving forward. Amen. Words of faith. We should always preach the victory in Jesus because we know the beginning from the end. We know the end from the beginning because why? Because we got the word of God that tells us that. And we should be trusting in the words of God. God has the new beginnings for this, for you and I and this church. There's never been a time in history where this church has such a potential for reaching the lost. There's been no greater time to be a light to this world. The door is open. The way has been made. This is our hour. Let's go forward. Let's start by beginning to make a commitment to God, each and every one of us, to honor him, to be faithful to him, to live holy and a dedicated life to him, to possess a positive and optimistic attitude. Where are you going from here? It's your decision. But I have decided to go forward. And I hope that we as a church have decided to rise up and go forward. King once told us in 1963 about a dream he had for all his people. And my church family, do you have a dream for this church? Do you have a dream for this church? I do. It's a dream that's deeply rooted in the Holy Scriptures. I have a dream that one day that this church will rise up and live out its true meaning of its 28 fundamental beliefs, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a God-loving church. I have a dream that all of our children will one day live in a place where they will be judged by only their Christ-like character. I have a dream that one day that the YY Church School will be reopened and that all of our children will go out and preach the word of God through all Hawaii. I have a dream that one day that we will have a church up on North Shore, up on in Mililani and Kapolei. That's my dream today for this church. And I hope that we all can have a dream for our church so we can move out on them dreams. And if we are to be a great church, we have to preach about Jesus, and that has to ring true for each and every person. So let's preach on the hilltops of Coley Pass to the mighty ranges of Schofield Barracks, Brother Phillips. Let's preach from the fresh waters of Wilson Lake to Ohio Street, the back alleys of Ohio Street. Let's preach about Jesus from the corners of California Avenue. But not only that, let's preach about Jesus on the doorsteps of each and every one of our hearts today. And my friends, when we preach about Jesus from every mouth, from every heart, we will speed up the day when all of God's children will see God, Jesus coming down in the blaze of glory and the clouds of joy, saying thank you, saying, my good and faithful servant, you have done well. That he'll say that to each and every one of us. It will speed up the day when we can do that. But it has to start here. Can you come and play I Surrender? In closing, you know, I got to get fired up because this is very, very personal to me. When I think about where our church is today and where our country been and where we're at today. At the same church, that same Southern Seventh-day Adventist church, we was having potluck one day. Much like the same potlucks that we have in our church every week. The potluck room was adjoining to a children's room where all the kids would go out and play while the parents would be preparing for potluck. My wife and one of the ladies was in the back room with the children, with all the children playing. And the door was closed. I was out in the potluck room and heard screams of anguish, terrible screams. This was on a Sabbath day. And the lady, someone was back there saying, my baby, my baby, my baby. Screams of anguish. I went back to open up the door and there was a lady there, a mother, that when they was in the back room, the kids was playing, and they didn't realize at that time that her toddler had ran by a table, and the table had fell on him, and he was breathless. No signs of life. When I opened up that door, only thing I could see was the mother crying. Her baby son had stopped breathing. She was crying and didn't know what to do. She handed me her baby. When she handed me her baby, I looked around and saw people in shock. All the talking had stopped. All the talk about what was going on the last week and the following week. All that had stopped. The focus was on that one baby. I looked around and saw the mother crying. Looked around, saw the father crying. Saw everyone had stopped and looked at this lady giving me her baby. I put that baby on the potluck table and began to give that baby mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. While I was doing that, only one member had went to call 911. And minutes later, the paramedics was all in our potluck room taking this baby to the hospital. God was with us that day because that baby began to breathe on his own as he was going to the hospital. God kept me at that Southern White Seventh-day Adventist Church for a reason. And you are here for a reason. So today I ask you to accept Christ in your life today. And let's move forward and move out for Christ. Because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Church family, it's time to arise. It's time to make a decision now. It's time to make a decision to win souls no matter what it takes. No matter what you have to go through. God has you here for a reason today. God wants you to follow his plan. Today, if you're willing to accept or follow God's plan, I don't want you to stand up because this is a normal thing that you're looking around and this is a normal thing that we do on the Sabbath. I want you to make a commitment to this church, to yourself, and mostly to God, that you will rise up and do whatever it takes to win souls for him today. Will you stand with me today if you truly believe that? Would you stand with me now? If you really want to make a commitment to him, because that's the only one that counts. I don't count. Elder Kuwaiti don't count. Elder Fraser don't count. It's your relationship with Jesus that counts today. That's the one that's count. And it don't matter how young you are. We see the young ones here. We see all the young ones at different ages. We didn't know what was happening that day in the potluck room that they almost lost their child. There was no games going on. It was deeply personal. And this should be personal today. So I ask you today, as we pray today, Heavenly Father, be with our church family today. Be with our church family today that we will look for the direction that you're pointing us in today. Be with our church family that we will go through the healing process. That the healing process will point right to you. Be with each and every one of us today in our own personal lives. In our home lives. That we will try to get closer and closer to you. Heavenly Father, we know that you have been with us today and ask for you to continually to be with us as we go through this work week and go through the day. Let your light shine through each and every one of us today. As always, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Dennis. Praise the Lord. And this is a message we came to hear. Whether we accept it or not, this is the message. It's God's message. At this time, I'd like the congregation to stand and open your hymnals to 518. 518, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will feel, Third stanza. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for the message of the hour. Help us to see the direction of Jesus and give us the strength to follow. Bless us now, anoint us with the precious blood of Jesus and cleanse us, Father. For we need more of your Holy Spirit more than ever before. So bless this congregation for these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated until the deacons dismiss you.